The 17th Gene Key. The transformational path of the 17th Gene Key moves from opinion to omniscience, and it's the path of farsightedness. It's fascinating how certain Gene Keys seem to be connected to certain archetypes in our consciousness. In the Gene Keys book, the chapter heading for the 17th Gene Key is called The Eye. So immediately we can see that it's about how we see the world, and more than that, how we think about the world. In the Venus sequence, we learn about the three stages of imprinting in our childhood. The Venus sequence is part two of the Golden Path program, deals with our relationships. So we learn about the three stages of imprinting in our childhood. The first 7-year cycle, which governs our physicality. The second 7 years, which govern our emotional life. And the third 7 years, from 14 to 21, when our mind develops its primary thought patterns, our psychology. And this 17th transformational path is about how the architecture of our mind is built during this last teenage cycle. So you can see that the shadow here is called opinion. And those with strong opinions may object to that. What's wrong with having an opinion, you may ask? Why is that a shadow? Well, it's not so much about having an opinion, but being trapped by your opinion. It's about being a victim of an opinion. You notice we often think of opinions as our own, as though they define us. We say, this is my opinion, or in my opinion. So at the shadow frequency, your opinions define you. They limit you. But they aren't who you are, because they can always change at any moment. And the strongest opinions become meshed into a worldview that forms around wound experiences from earlier childhood cycles, and they crystallize in our mental consciousness as we try to cope with the world as teenagers. And the dilemma here helps by bringing the other half of the story. It's the dilemma of politics. And by politics, we don't mean the external means of government, but the internal means. In other words, the way in which the shadow mind works. And it works by taking sides. It takes on a single, monocular, limiting view. And it does this out of emotional insecurity. And it will even build a whole life around that wound. And this leads to division out in the world. It leads to left and right, democratic and republican, labor, conservative, liberal and traditional. It leads to politics, emotional politics, sexual politics, intellectual politics. The intellectual mind is all about politics, and the political mind is always the defensive mind. It has an investment in feeling safe through its opinion. So when it's challenged, it hardens even further around that wound or that opinion. Think about the views you hold about the world. Is your view of the world lopsided, or can you look with equanimity? If you're listening to or reading this, then you may be spiritually lopsided. Perhaps you've taken up residence in a spiritual view of the universe. It's an interesting contemplation to do, to look at the opinions we hold, consciously or unconsciously, and see how they trap us. Think about something in your life that concerns you. Is there a should attached to it? Things shouldn't be like this. It may not be comfortable, but your opinion is often the first stage of denial of what is, of the way things actually are. So only when you're able to see through the structure of your opinions and your worldview, only then is transformation possible. We think politics is the only way to try and sort out our differences. We think it's the norm. We even think that it's healthy, that you have to have one person on one side with an opinion and then another person on the other side with the opposite opinion. And then all you really have is argumentation. When you look at our leaders, they spend most of their time arguing. Don't they look a bit like teenagers, arguing with their parents? The thing is, we get stuck with our worldview and then we carry it out into the world. It becomes who we think we are. So we have to defend our view. Otherwise, who are we? Who are you without your opinions? Think about that. So think back to your life between the ages of 14 and 21. And look at the opinions you formed during that time about the world. And here's one of mine as an example. I can't be happy unless I pretend. That's an unconscious opinion about the world I carried as a teenager and beyond. until I became aware of it. Dig in and you will find these beliefs. Many of us are caught in a net of opinions that simply don't serve us anymore, and we have to see it to let go of it. You know, we humans are a dichotomy. We're a dilemma. We are two contrary views. We have two eyes, two hemispheres of the brain, always two. And because it's so uncomfortable being two, we choose one and let it dominate. You know, we always have one leg longer than the other. And we pretend to feel safer. And that's how the political mind works. Logic or intuitive, it's one or the other. The 17th shadow has a distinct leaning, actually, towards the logical, the scientific, towards the left brain view. I find it hilarious whenever I come across an alleged skeptic. These people often carry the 17th gene key somewhere. They claim skepticism, but they're usually masquerading dogmatists because they've already made up their mind. Logic is their god, and they can't accept anything for truth unless there's evidence. But the true skeptic is coming from the 17th gift. They don't have a bias at all. They remain open. They're skeptical even of their skepticism. That's my definition of a pure skeptic. They don't have a viewpoint to defend. So you'll not find any aggression or defensiveness in them. It's rare to find a person who's transcended the dilemma of the political mind. A person who can see both sides of an argument, who can embrace both logic and intuition as equally of value. So use this shadow to dig into those places in your mind where you feel the need to defend a viewpoint. You can have a view, of course, but that view does not have to define you. As long as you're aware that any single view is not the whole story, then you've freed yourself from the clutches of the political mind, the opinionated mind, the victim mind. The 17th gift, farsightedness. We need to understand something fully before we can transcend it. This is what genius is all about. You learn something, then you unlearn it, then you transcend it. But your transcendence includes it. This is what compassion is, the view from the city, you know, what it's like to be opinionated. You understand it in your bones, so when you come across it in another, you needn't fight them. You needn't react. You can simply let them have their process. You don't have to try and convert them. In fact, you won't be able to, so better forget that path. But you can kill people with kindness. The opinionated person doesn't know what to do with that genuinely loving intelligence. You speak your truth. You let your heart shimmer with your truth. But you aren't trying to convert. That's where the power lies. It's the way of non-attachment. So the 17th gift is awesome. It's the power of farsightedness. It's the gift of seeing the matrix, the whole matrix, with all its detail. And once you've seen it, you can never go back to the land of opinion and division. This is the domain of the heart mind, the gift. You merge the opposites. You look with intuition and intellect, and you rise up to a higher level of your functioning. The 17th gift is about seeing with your causal body. And your causal body is the subtle equipment that humans have to look at something beyond the mind. There's a definition of it in the glossary at the back of my book. The causal plane lies beyond the mental plane. It's the realm of archetypal wisdom. It's not about knowledge. It's about the direct seeing of truth. And you perceive truth through your whole body. It's here that revelations come from. Insights, epiphanies, satoris, breakthroughs. Every genius that's ever lived has seen with this eye. They've lifted themselves up to look at life through wider eyes. And many were not able to live there, but they captured it through their art, or through their science, or their particular stream of genius. And it's why genius is always ahead of its time. It's far-sighted. It sees where we've come from, and it sees where we're going. And the gift frequency is always a process. It's the process of dismantling the shadow. And as we drop our fixed views and opinions, our cells open us up to this higher mind. And the process is I imagine it's kind of like having contractions at some level. A breakthrough occurs and we have a sight of the higher realm, of a higher truth that exists beyond the world we see. We see into the interdependent, self-originating cosmos. We see into the hologram. At the beginning, we cannot sustain this view through the 17th gift. It can be something of a trial to see that and then return to your normal functioning. But we need gaps and pauses between the contractions. We need them to integrate the truths. It's too much for most of us to see it all at once. So we are lowered gently into the ocean. And we have to get used to it. You know, after an epiphany, such a charge is rushing through your body. You feel so powerful. And yet you have to ground that insight into your daily life. So you're given time. You know, when I was a student at university, I used to drive my English tutor mad. I was into meditation, and when we're studying the creative imagination and the nature of identity in literature, you can imagine I loved that. And I remember once asking our small study group to imagine what it might feel like to look through an eye with 360-degree vision. What would that be like if your eye was just suspended in space and you could see through that? What would the world look like? You know, I used to really blow their minds with my ideas. I'm sure they dreaded it when I came to the tutorials. But this is what it means to see through the eye of wisdom. And as I said, the 17th gene key favours the left brain approach, so it can really see into the architecture of life. It sees the fractals and the patterns of existence. It sees the synarchies of creative evolution. It sees through the heart. So the 17th gift knows how to overcome politics. It knows how to get communities working together. You don't really get anywhere by arguing and disempowering and jostling for position. You work with each other through empowering, through affirming, through listening. This isn't idealistic. This is eminently practical. Efficiency is about working with higher values. We're not children, but we behave exactly like them. In fact, we're much worse than children because we don't have their capacity to let go. Left brain genius is all about mastering technique in order to transcend technique. A left brain musical genius, for example, is very different from a right brain musical genius. The left brain works in hierarchies, in levels, in sequences. It's like Bach, as opposed to Brahms. The right brain works illogically and makes quantum leaps, but they both lead to the same place, to transcendence. Think about the truly healthy teenage mind. Think about how open it is. Think about how revolutionary it is. Think about how far it sees ahead. Why do you think young adults are so into science fiction? It's the gift of farsightedness. We all have that gift, regardless of our profiles. So the 17th gift is about reclaiming that mind, that causal view beyond the veil of the world. And it's about letting the open heart see through that kind of a mind. It precipitates a creative revolution. Let your heart open that wide and then look at life, and you'll see what the 17th gift sees. You'll see the beauty, the magic, and the miracle of true nature of the dream world that we live in. The 17th city, omniscience. The 17th city activates the fullest expression of the pituitary gland. Each of the endocrine glands has a different higher purpose in our biology. The pituitary, operating at its genetic zenith, gives us the experience of the opening of the so-called third eye. And it's funny when you think about that, because the third eye isn't really in the forehead between our two eyes. That's just a metaphor. I speak as one who has experienced a third eye opening on a large scale back during my mystical experience when all this stuff first opened up in me. And traditionally we see the third eye between the two eyes because it does indeed represent the transcendence of the dualistic view through our senses. It's the third transcendent view of the whole. But in my experience anyway, the third eye is actually at the heart of every single cell in your body. And when it opens, your entire body becomes the eye. And you open in a way that defies belief. You become the 360-degree eye floating in space-time, and you bring an end to space-time. Little did I know what I was saying back in that tutorial at university all those years ago. My words came back to haunt me, I tell you. The experience of the 17th city is more akin to being seen through rather than seeing. You cease to be, so you yourself do not see. The cosmos sees itself through you. I imagine it must be something like that when we die. Such a beautiful phenomenon. Nothing whatsoever to fear. The beauty of that cosmic sunset that brings an end to your individuated existence. The 17th city is rather unusual, in fact. I think it may also be very rare. It's a gift of grace, and it's one of the agents of grace. It's one of the seven sacred seals spoken of in the 22nd Gene Key and its beautiful transmission. And the 17th city is one of the cities that will bring an end to the sacred wound of denial. That's the second line wound. It comes to end that wound pattern. So you have to read the 22nd Gene Key to really understand this. And to go deep into it, you need to do the Venus sequence. So if you've done part two of the Golden Path program, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. Because the second line wound is our sexual wound. It's the wound of violence, of rage, of pure denial. And the only way humans can do some of the deplorable things that we've done is because we have the wound of denial. And you cannot live with yourself otherwise. You can see that at the shadow frequency, there's also a kind of death, the death of conscience, the death of self-responsibility. So with the 17th city comes omniscience. And it's more of a collective phenomenon than anything else. We, humanity, we are the eye that will one day be seen through. And once that eye opens up in our genome, in the matrix of our DNA, in our racial gene pools, it will change our shadow nature forever. Because how can you harm another when you realize that they're a part of you? How can you harm another when you're feeling so good? The 17th city is part of the tradition of sudden awakening. When someone sees through their denial, it shatters them wide open to the core. You know, this is St. Paul on the road to Damascus. This is a thunderbolt. And when we mutate, we're going to mutate swiftly. And the 17th Gene Key acts swiftly. It's the master of efficiency, remember. One never knows where lightning will strike. So this is one of the most unpredictable places in the human genome. It could transform the whole human race overnight. And my hunch is that this city comes towards the end of our evolution. And it follows fast on the heels of our heart opening. It will literally bring an instant end to fighting at all levels, even in children. You know how siblings love to fight and provoke each other? And we parents just wonder at the pain of that. Why do they do that, the sweet little cherubs? It's because it's in our DNA. And one day, it will just be transformed, just like that. A new kind of child is coming into the world. One with no violence in their system. One with no memory, even, of violence. I want to leave you with an image of the 17th city. You know how I like to do that sometimes. Well, in the Gene Key synthesis, one of the approaches is called the Dream Arc, and it's a shamanic way into the matrix of the 64 codons. Every shadow, gift, and city has a totem animal, or an insect, or a bird connected to it. And I brought through this transmission a few years back, and it's a really exciting right-brain approach into the Gene Keys. It's also a kind of dream yoga using the Gene Keys. And I'll be doing more of it in the future. Anyway, the 17th city represents the peregrine falcon. The falcon. All the cities are birds because they represent the alpha state, the higher consciousness. And the falcon is seen by many traditions as a symbol of higher sight. And the best known of these is probably the Egyptian tradition, which is where we get the all-seeing, omniscient eye of Horus. That's where it comes from. Horus had the head of a falcon. So if you've ever seen a falcon in the hands of a falconer, you will see that they always keep a hood over the bird's head. And this is because the eyes of the falcon are a complete marvel of creation. They can see the tiny O in a packet of Marlboro cigarettes from a mile up in the sky, while moving at speeds of up to 200 miles an hour. So with the hood on, the Falcon is docile. It's almost in a trance. All its primary awareness systems are on standby. But the moment he removes that hood, my God, the system that instantly comes online. Those eyes are connected directly into the bird's central nervous system. So what the eye sees is instantly translated into action without any additional cognition. So when the falcon is released into the air to hunt, it becomes this all-seeing eye connected to a 200-mile-an-hour killing machine. It's no wonder the falcon became the royal bird, because it's an awesome creature. The moment those eyes see the prey, the bird is instantly in action. There's no time delay between seeing and acting. And I leave you with this image because our future awareness is like that, except instead of being predatory, it's revelatory. There's no time delay between seeing and acting. At the lower frequency, that's the definition of denial. But at the highest frequency, it leads to a world imbued with a living awareness, an all-pervasive intelligence that bridges all creatures and all things. It's the omniscience of God, spoken of in the Bible. It's our legacy, and it's the natural outcome of our evolution.